Thanks. So when I was asked to do this, of course I was nervous because that's what I do. The thing is, I feel kind of like I'm not qualified to do this, even though I've been sponsoring for 4 years, because all of this information I got from people like you. So it's not new information, but maybe I do it a little differently. I don't know. So I wrote it out. Hopefully it doesn't sound like I'm reading it. Basically, I've been sponsoring for 4 years, off and on. I've had relapse during that time when I wasn't sponsoring. The first time I sponsored, or the first time I hit step 12, I was like, no, I can't do this. This is too much. I'm not qualified. I don't look the part. There were all these excuses. But as soon as I did it, I realized that that's the key to the whole thing, is that working with others. So it became a big part of what I do every day. So when someone asks me to sponsor them, the first thing I do is set up a meeting, and I make sure I use the words to see if we're a good fit, because it's okay if we don't fit. It's okay. Every sponsor is not for everybody else, and that's all right. So I set up a time to talk. I want to see if we can accommodate each other's times that we're available, or if they're even willing to do some of the things that I asked them to do, the things I was asked to do as a sponsee. So during that conversation, I outline my expectations. I try to be really clear because, we make up excuses why we can't do certain things, and if I'm not clear, then that's the way it'll go. I let them know that 100% honesty is the first thing. If we're not honest, it's just another way of hiding. And we've all been doing that for years, right? So I try to be flexible with schedule. I'm retired, so that makes it easy. I can take calls pretty much anywhere. And I've worked with sponsees on the other end of the country for me, and it's fine. Let's see. Get where I was. All right, so I let them know that likely we'll be meeting 5 to 7 times a week, depending on their schedule. And we read together, discuss the steps, work through some assignments. I don't give a lot of assignments, but I give some. I encourage them to to go to a meeting every single day, especially in early recovery. I'll give them a list of meetings that I go to and list the meetings that have been recommended to me. But I tell them to please go out and try to find some meetings that fit for them, that work for them. What else? Let's see. I also ask them to try to find time to do a quiet time, 30 minutes a day. And I try to make sure that they understand that this is not about just praying. It's about creating a connection with their higher power. Sometimes they don't have a higher power yet. So it's about creating that time, that higher power connection. I also ask them to send me their food every day before they eat it. So either the night before or in the morning. I just call this food accountability. I don't tell them what to eat because I'm not a nutritionist. So a lot of sponsors don't talk about food with their sponsees, but I do. What I encourage them to do is to get a nutritionist. I don't require it because some people can't afford it. So in that case, I'll encourage them to talk to their doctor and get a recommendation that maybe their insurance will cover. I also send them to a few websites of nutritionists that I'm aware of. And then I may talk about just different things, just giving them knowledge about what I know for my recovery and how it worked for me. The next thing I will do concerning food is I will talk about red light and green light foods. I don't say yellow light foods. When we're driving and we come up to a yellow light, that's a warning that it's going to turn red. So why would we mess with that? If it's yellow, it's red. So that's something that I go over with them. We talk about behaviors and the actual foods. And I have been known to sit on the phone for an hour or more going through their pantry with them on the phone, looking at ingredients, going through their spice cabinet. That's a place I've found a lot of sugar. I also have a list of sugars, the names of sugars, different ways to find that in your ingredients list. So I'll send that to them. I've also gone as far as getting in, going to the grocery store with them by phone. So staying on the grocery, in the grocery store with them and talking about different foods. Talking about, it's not necessarily the food. Sometimes it's like a texture thing. So it could be something else that triggers, not just the ingredients, and talking about that when it comes to food. And then the last, and for me, the most important thing is those calls every day, the connection. Some people don't require those calls, but I feel like if you don't start that right away, they're not going to have a connection to anybody else, and they're going to use their sponsor as their 10-step partner, or sometimes that idolatry, looking at a sponsor as somebody who is responsible for their recovery. And I'm not responsible for anybody's recovery. So it's really important that they start that connection immediately, start building that God squad immediately. So step zero is the food thing that I talked about. I ask them to find a food plan and then give the food plan to me. Again, not because I'm going to tell them how to eat, but because if they say they can't eat potatoes, for example, and they send me their meal for the next day that says baked potato on it, I'm going to question. And most of the time, if it were me, I would have made some excuse. Oh, yeah, well, I can eat it if. And that would trigger some conversations, right? I've done that. So, let's see, what else? All right, we talked about yellow light foods. All right, so during this stage, I also will suggest podcasts about food sobriety, basically about absolute abstinence. That it's, well, I can't think of any off the top of my head, but anyway, there's a lot of them that I will recommend, and I encourage them to listen to podcasts whenever they have food thoughts, especially the ones on abstinence. Now, once the abstinence is defined, once we do that, that's when we start working the steps. Now, that doesn't mean I don't talk to them till they are abstinent. It just means that we don't start working the steps until the food is down, even if they're white knuckling it. And usually they are at this point. So then we start working through steps one and two and three. Once we get through step three, what I have my sponsees do is I have them every morning at the beginning of their time, their 30-minute time with their higher power. I have them read out loud step one, step two, and step three as a reminder. And this is a way to start our day. And then they go into their time. So step one reminds us that we're powerless. Step two, that hope does exist. And then step three, that we don't have to run the universe anymore. We're not in control, and it's okay to let go of that. Although we still get that every once in a while. So in my mind, those three steps are the foundation for the program, but it's the foundation for our day too. So when we get to step four, I try to keep it simple. This is where people drop out a lot. I use usually Joe and Charlie's inventory forms. I encourage the sponsees to use as few words as possible. If they're anything like me, they want to write a novel, every detail about everything anybody's ever done to me. But we use just as few words as possible. Usually, step four will take us about one day, maybe a little longer if they get caught up, but one day is usually a good time. And that's when I go ahead and schedule step five. When I assign step four, I schedule when we're going to talk for step five. That keeps them in that time frame so that they're not just trying to rush or trying to keep going. I want them to rush in that I don't want them to spend a lot of time mulling over all these resentments. Step five is super important. My sponsor says it's an honor to hear, and that's true because somebody's sharing with you things they've probably never shared with anybody ever. And it's really important. And so I want to make sure I'm listening. I'm fully there. I also have to be quiet, and that's super hard for me to do. I want to throw in my thoughts every other sentence, but I try really hard to keep it quiet. Although sometimes you have to guide them back to get on topic and you might have to ask a couple of questions. But for the most part, I try to be quiet and just listen. Six and seven move pretty fast because, well, for me, at the end of step five, there's a point when you ask your sponsee to take an hour and just really kind of mull over what we talked about, how they felt, et cetera, et cetera. And for me, that's my favorite thing after doing a step four and step five. That's my favorite time because I go out and I walk in the woods and I enjoy that. But stressing how important that is. And then we move into six and seven. Those go pretty quick. Something I have them do at the end of step seven, well, we talk a lot about what are these defects. I don't like the word, but I don't have a better word. I'd love to hear if you guys do. The defects get in our way and they block us from things. So we talk a little bit about what are those common defects. And then when it comes to step seven and you have the step seven prayer, the seventh step prayer, I ask them to rewrite it to make it personal for them. It's just something my first sponsor had me do, and it was really helpful to me to make it my own, that I wasn't just reciting this prayer that someone else wrote. So I really like that. I've done that with quite a few of the prayers, actually. So now it's time to move on to step eight, and that one's hard because now it's time to start admitting that you have to make amends. And that's hard because you have to admit also that you were wrong in some things and what was your part. And that's really hard. So that takes a little bit longer to get in that mindset. There's a lot of podcasts and things like that that I recommend in that step. But also really talking about step eight just means willing and trying to keep a sponsee from panicking at this point. Because that's what I did. I panicked and I wanted to get out. That was it. I could never, go to these people and say these things ever. It would be awful. They would think badly of me. Well, whatever. So just using the word willing a lot, letting them know that's all step eight is. You're just writing it down and you're willing. Step nine is where, that's where we really get started. Let's see, making those amends, writing it out should take a day or two, but making the amends sometimes can take a lot longer. That doesn't mean we can't move forward if you've got one that you can't get a hold of somebody or something like that. But there should be a lot of discussion, in my opinion, during that time with each one of those amends. So I have my sponsee call me after they've made an amends. And that way we can talk about how they're feeling and how it went, et cetera, et cetera. The other thing I really stress is n their expectations. Because for me,
Five minutes.
Okay, thanks. I expected my sponsor or my people that I made amends to be like, "Oh, thank you so much. You're wonderful. I love you." And but most of the time that's not the case. In fact, my sister was like, "Oh, really? Well, okay." And I expected her to be very grateful, and she wasn't, which made another amends I had to make because I was really ticked off for a while. Anyway, that's a whole nother story you don't need to hear. Now we're going on to step 10, 11, and 12. And you hear the words live in 10, 11, and 12. Step 10 is where we start dealing with those little pebbles in our shoe every single day. So you don't want to hold on to these little resentments or disturbances. So it can be both things. It's not just a resentment. If you have a disturbance of any kind, that could be a food thought. It could be that you're not feeling well. It could be anything that agitates you. And that's what step 10s are for, is to get this out of your mind and process the information. And so we talk about that and how important it is to do. I ask them to do at least one a day, if not more. Everybody's got something every day. If you're married, you've got something every single day. My sponsor knows that about me. So at this point, though, in step 10, all those outreach calls and all those meetings they've been going to and collecting phone numbers, that's where that comes in. So now they've built their God squad, hopefully, and they have a group of people they can call for 10 steps. After that, we go to 11 and then 12, and those are pretty self-explanatory. I ask, let's see, where am I? Oh, I already said that. All right. For me, it's not about control or perfection. It was the first year I sponsored. It was about me controlling them, and I did 10 steps on my sponsees because they weren't following my script, right? But I realize now I was just trying to be perfect, and I wanted to be the best sponsor in the world and everybody to say, "Oh, remember her, she's wonderful, I love her." They don't say that. So, and I can quit expecting that. Basically, sponsoring to me is like walking beside another compulsive eater. We're on the same train. We're on the same bus, whatever you want to say. We're all compulsive overeaters. It's not my responsibility to make sure they recover. It's my responsibility to share how I recovered. And that's it. So that's really all there is. That's all I wrote down. So thank you for letting me share. I hope it helped.